The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid. Wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. It is Wednesday, June the 2nd. We are going to break down a top 25, under 25 with Cody Benjamin coming up on the podcast. More lists, because that's what the offseason is. We do lists, including maybe we'll talk to Sam Monson about PFF's top 100 players in the NFL. Excited to do that. That's the only top 100 list I've really seen out there on the internet this offseason, nor is it the only one I care to talk about. Any other ones? Irrelevant, erroneous, terrible. Don't care about them. Also, the triplets. Jared Dubin does his triplets post. Best, I think it's quarterback, wide receiver, and running back for, and then ranks him across the board of the NFL. We'll talk to him about that. In the feed, there's a, should be a two-part mailbag maybe, or maybe a Memorial Day mailbag. Make sure and check that out. And if you're watching on YouTube, like the video and leave us a comment and tell us your favorite player. You know, it could be your most underrated player under the age of 25. So can't 25 or younger. That you like in the NFL, leave us a name and we will, I don't know, pick something out and give you a row pad or something. I got a bunch of them around here. I also want to let you know about what's on CBS Sports HQ this week. As always, CBS Sports HQ is the network to start your sports news day at 8 a.m. Eastern with Morning Buzz, an hour of highlights, news, and all the day's need to know. And come back or leave us on all day at 6 p.m. where we break down all the night's action and release dozens of picks from the best analysts and cappers in the sports world. And this week, well, this week is a fun one. The K Golazzo crew will be in Denver reporting all week on the CONCACAF Nations League and all things U.S. men's national team. And our pal, maybe. At this point, Pete Prisco will be on HQ talking about Sam Monson's top 100 players in the NFL that he posted on PFF. Pete's just aggregating the list, I think. That was on Tuesday, but something tells me we'll be talking about it all week. And of course, we'll have Paul Mayweather coverage, college football recruiting updates, Belmont Stakes picks, and all things hockey and NBA playoffs. How to watch HQ? It's easy. Go to your Roku, Apple TV, Fire TV, really most connected TVs, and look for the CBS Sports app. Fire it up. Check out HQ, the only 24/7 free streaming sports network. Woo! Cody Benjamin, what's up, buddy?
I'm doing well. I'm just sitting back enjoying that. I mean, you really knocked that one out of the park, I think. You're wearing a nice yellow shirt, bringing the sunshine for June.
I was saying, Hubie Poteet Memorial Foundation. Long live the kid, Hubie Poteet. A buddy of mine who died in college, tragically, was one of the it's almost impossible to put into words how exuberant a personality he was. And so people like to remember him.
I feel like you gave
energy. Don't be sad about you.
No, that's what I'm saying. I feel like you did a good job representing the energy on the announcements. And I'm glad to be here. I feel like the list, top 25, under 25, it's a real test for seeing who can read the intro paragraphs, because it's just really one where, you know, you've got people that are, you know,
let's get that clear. First of all, because you have to be under 25.
Under 25, and I set it at the first week of the season, so September 9th. That's officially when the 2021 season begins, and so it doesn't matter if you turn 25 in week two. It doesn't, like, you have to be under 25 when the season officially begins.
On September 9th. I think Sean Wagner McGuff, who did this article before Sean got fired for ranking Doug Peterson too low on a top 10 coaches list. I think that he did it like as of the writing of this article, which
he did.
This is a better idea because
Sean, I just think
Sean's just picking this arbitrary date in the middle of the summer. People might see this in week one or week two. You know, they'd see it closer to the season or in August and be like, well, he's not 25 yet, blah, blah, you know. So this makes more sense, Cody. You have already exceeded anything Sean ever did in his football career at CBS.
I just look at it like, so the same way we evaluate like free agents or, I mean, some people do this where you're looking at, are you signing this guy? He may be, you know, he may be 29 when you sign him in free agency, but you're always looking ahead to the season. So this guy's going to be 30 by the time his contract's up, whatever. So, you know, this season, 2021 season, you got to be under 25. And that excludes a lot of guys who I'd still consider to be young, but they're right over the threshold. And so there's a spot in the story where it includes guys who just missed. They were just too old, and guys who maybe next year will be in there. But yeah, so that's the cutoff. And I think it actually works pretty nicely because why 25? Well, if you look at most guys come into the NFL at about 2021 and their contracts start out 4 to 5 years. And so it's right around that point where guys are normally going into their second contracts. And so if you want to look at it, not in all cases, but in most, it also works as kind of a ranking of guys on their rookie deals. Sure. And so, yeah, it works nicely that way as well.
Yeah. You sort of looking at like who's might be most likely to get paid because of their, you know, sure, situation as a rookie and all that. Do you remember any specific guys who were like, oh, this guy would be obvious, except he turned, oh, just too old. There we go. That's the list right there. Patrick Mahomes, already 25, doesn't count. Would be number one on the list. Was number one on Sean's list before. Duh. You dodged a pretty glad Deshaun Watson's 25. That makes your life easier this offseason.
And again, some of these guys, they may be, you know, somebody might be listening and be like, wait a second, I know this guy's 24. Just remember, like, they're going to be 25 when the season starts. And so, yeah, like Josh Allen, a guy like that, he'd probably be – I think he would have been number three for me behind Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, and sure. He would have been three. So, yeah, there's a bunch of guys that are, you know, they're very young.
Josh Allen turned 25 on May 21st. So, he's – you know, I mean, he wouldn't have made the cut. Yeah. But I'm sure there's somebody out there who, you know, who – I mean, I don't know all their birthdays, but, you know, one of these guys is going to be 24 as somebody is listening. But no. Yeah. Your birthday is in August. They don't qualify.
Just trying to be consistent. I think guys like Myles Garrett, Nick Chubb, Christian McCaffrey, those are all guys that would have definitely made it. You know, those are the ones that stand out to me. Obviously, the quarterbacks, Josh Allen, Mahomes. But, yeah, I think Myles Garrett would have been way up there. Nick Chubb probably would have made the top 10 as well.
What's interesting about this is that, you know, there's a pretty clear delineation here, and it should be fairly obvious to anyone, is, you know, 2017 draft. Like, that's basically the 2000, you know, there's some, you know, Bradley Chubb drafted. My point being is that some of these guys are a little bit older than they're in their draft class, and that factors in as well. But for the most part, that's the 2017 draft class. And, you know, that was looks like it's going to end up being a historically good draft class. Certainly these things can twist and turn, and players can struggle after, you know, a good start to the year, but or good start to their careers. But Myles Garrett, Jamal Adams, Christian McCaffrey, Patrick Mahomes, Marshawn Lattimore, Deshaun Watson, Marlon Humphrey, Tre'Davious White, and TJ Watt, Ryan Ramczyk, that's just in the first round. Budda Baker, Dalvin Cook, tons of good guys in that draft class, which probably made your job a little bit harder to put the list together, right?
Yeah, I think honestly, so if we were just talking about the guys that make the cut age-wise, I think there's a pretty like solid top 10 to top 12 where you're sure those guys are locks, or they will be. And then after that, there's like this huge pool, kind of like when we talk about quarterbacks. There's like these elite quarterbacks. Then there's a huge section where there's like guys that are kind of good. They can be great. Or, you know, you can kind of really just nitpick and put guys ahead of each other. And I think from like 12 to 15 on, there's a big, I mean, we'll get into it, but I think even at the back end here, the 25, 24, 23, you could very easily swap them out for a dozen guys and it would still work. Because yeah, there's a lot of talent, and a lot of guys that should be getting paid over the next few years.
Let's look at the just missed and maybe next year list, aka the large swath of honorable mentions. If you had to pick one guy from either of these two groups, and you have a lot of them, like Ronald Jones is on there, and I don't think that, you know, and what you're doing is you're doing your due diligence. You're not saying Ronald Jones was dangerously close to being a top 25 player, but you're trying to find the best players under that age. If you had to pick somebody from this list based on how you think they'll play in 2021, who will jump up and make it into that top 25 next year, and you got to be a little careful because, you know, Darius Slayton will be 25. Yes. Who would you go with from this group of guys?
Well, I know of the guys that didn't make it.
Do not say Jalen Hurts.
I'm not. Don't worry. I'm not going there. I mean, the thing is, I tried to, like, I feel like these lists, the just missed and the maybe next year, they're pretty extensive. Like, it's a big block of names. And yet there's still people coming at, like, saying, hey, what about this guy? What about – because there are a lot of guys. Honestly, the position group that jumps out to me that was the hardest to kind of pull people from and leave people off was wide receiver. And so at 25, like, I think you could make a very good case for T. Higgins, for CeeDee Lamb. I got a couple people mentioned CeeDee Lamb. Where's he at? I think Jerry Jeudy, I mean, if he cleans up the drops, he's, you know, he's already a really good route runner. I think Gabriel Davis could step. I mean, I don't want to, I guess, you know, give you 10 names when you're asking for one. But I think all of those guys are very much worthy of, and depending if you like Juju or DJ Chark more, I just see a little maybe more upside with some of those other guys. But I, if I had to replace number 25 right now with another one of these guys, it'd probably be, I'd say T. Higgins or CeeDee Lamb. Those are probably guys I'm looking.
CeeDee Lamb was the name that really jumped off to me, mainly because I thought CeeDee Lamb was the third best player in the draft class when he was taken, and that he, you know, really deserved to. But the problem is, you know, he's sharing targets with Michael Gallup and Amari Cooper. You know, Dak Prescott goes down, and so maybe the production wasn't quite there. I think he's a pretty good bet to make it on this list next year, particularly if the Cowboys end up moving on from either Gallup or Amari Cooper next offseason. And so when you were doing this in, you know, June of 2022, you're thinking, all right, CeeDee Lamb is maybe the one in Dallas, depending on who they move on from. You know, maybe they send Gallup to an extension and Lamb is the true number one there. Cooper, you know, he could even be better than Cooper. We'll see. That third year for him certainly could be a big year, and next year could be big as well. The one that I think you might have messed up on, Mekhi Becton.
Okay.
Mekhi Becton, I think, needs to be on the list. He's a beast. It's hard because you want to have some positional versatility. I'm probably getting rid of your boy Miles Sanders or Josh Jacobs. Both are really good players.
Yeah.
And you do want to have running backs on there. You know, you don't want to have just no running backs. I might dump Roquan Smith, who's I loved as a player coming out of Georgia, but I'm just not sure. There's something missing that hadn't clicked quite yet with him. He'll be 25 next year, so he'll be off anyway. I'm finding a way to get Becton on there, maybe finding a way to get Jedrick Wills on there. But it is a list of 25 dudes. It's hard to put together.
Yeah, I think you're right in that territory where, again, I'm not, you know, I'm here to defend the list in some way, but I'm also like very – like those last 10 and beyond are so amendable that honestly the one guy that I almost – wish was taken off is Josh Jacobs, and that's not a slight to Raiders fans, and you can make the case for Miles Sanders too, but I just where today's NFL is going, I mean, the bell cow, like, bruising running back who doesn't give you a ton in the passing game, like, I don't know, I could definitely see a scenario where, like, 2 to 3 years from now, Josh Jacobs is Todd Gurley in terms of career value, and so yeah, I mean, long term, I think I honestly think even Derrick Brown, the defensive tackle from Carolina. Yep. I mean, I think you could slot any of those guys in there for sure.
Right, and the thing with Brown that I was going to add, that was going to be the next point I made, is sometimes it's tough. So you have DJ Moore at 17 here and Brian Burns at 18. You don't want to put five Panthers on there. You don't want the list to be 25% Panthers or, you know, 40% Panthers. I mean, that's not going to work. And I think, you know, you had Quinnen Williams on here, so you're thinking, all right, the Jets suck. Do I really want to have two Jets players on this list? It's hard to balance that. I think also, you know, you put DJ Moore on here at age 24, you know he's not going to be on there next year. And so
it's a last shot.
you know what I'm saying? Like, it's a little with Miles Sanders. So you're getting them on there while their last shot to get on there, and then you rotate in guys who are younger after maybe another season of proving themselves. That's, you know, there's plenty of thinking that goes into that. I'm sure people were hot and bothered about this list, maybe more so than Pete's top 100.
Honestly, the reception has been like tame compared to what, like, I thought it would be worse. It's mostly people, the people who are angriest are the ones who didn't. And I'm not, you know, I'm not trying to throw them on it. They didn't read the intro.
The people were like, "Where's Mahomes?"
Right. Or there's no way Lamar Jackson's on there and Josh Allen shouldn't be. And I agree. I'm with you. It's just not the list. And so
read the list, people. Lamar Jackson 24. He'll be 24 when the season starts. That's how it works.
But I do think, you make an interesting point about, like, there's a limited time where these guys can fit on this list. And so, you know, some of those guys, they can't be on the under 25 list next year. And they are one of the best players right now.
And also in the intro, you mentioned you didn't put any rookies on there either. They got to have a full season of NFL work to get in there. Because if you were putting rookies in there, you're probably putting Trevor Lawrence on this list. You know,
yeah.
I don't know how high he is. I don't think he's above Justin Herbert or Lamar Jackson or anything. But he's probably in the top 10, just in terms of if you were evaluating where he would go.
Yeah.
Kyle Pitts too, you know. I mean, if you were evaluating where those guys would go, like, as a trade scenario, right? Would the Raiders trade Josh Jacobs or Trevor Lawrence? Why, yes. Yes, they would trade Josh Jacobs or Trevor Lawrence. You know, would the Giants trade Saquon Barkley for Trevor Lawrence? I believe they would. So that's tough too, I think.
I think you could include him, honestly. I mean, because this, what I tried to do was combine past performance with projection and then a little bit of positional value. So it's a big medley of, like, if you've been good for three seasons, that's great. But if your future outlook is even better, that's great. And it also helps if you, like you're saying, if you play quarterback instead of running back or, you know, punter. So, it's a blend, but yes, I think Trevor Lawrence would be there. Kyle Pitts, probably. Jamar Chase, maybe. I think he could slide in there instead of T. Higgins at the end or something. So,
It all depends on the situation. It depends on how they perform in their rookie season. And yeah, it was hard for tight ends and wide receivers to adjust in the NFL sometimes, although it's been a little bit easier. Let's look at the list now. We'll look at 11 through 25, and then we'll take a break and look at top 10. When I look at this, I think Josh Jacobs too high. I like Chase Claypool being on there, Tremaine Edmonds. I think Miles Sanders is too high. I think Antoine Winfield might be too low. Devin White might be too low at 19. I don't know that I would definitely have DJ Moore on here if it were my list. Same, I said Roquan Smith. Which one did you feel out of this group 11 to 25 was probably going to be your most controversial ranking or inclusion?
You're just talking about the back end, 11 to 25?
So, like,
sure.
Yeah, when you were putting the list here, you're like, oh, Saquon, people are going to be mad. Saquon's too low or Saquon's too high. How, you know, I don't know if it's him or somebody else.
I honestly think Saquon was the most polarizing and also just a weird spot to try and put him in because, you know, on one hand, if he's healthy, he's still, like, even if he plays running back, he's just a freakish, like, athlete. I mean, his build, his size, his speed, his power, like, he does change games and not as much as, obviously, quarterbacks. But, you know, a healthy Saquon Barkley, it's just tough to look at the athleticism and say, this guy's not one of the top 25 under 25 players, but he's also coming off a year where he averaged under 2 yards a carry before he blew out his knee. He plays running back. I mean, like, he could be good this year. He might not be. Like, I think that was kind of just one of the most polarizing ones. Like, Roquan Smith, another one, you mentioned him, like, the numbers are there when he's healthy, but he's an inside linebacker. He's missed some time. I don't know if it's like, I think he's a good player for his position, but you could probably argue otherwise. And then DJ Moore, I mean, I know you mentioned him. I just think, and I put this in the story, like, if DJ Moore played for the Chiefs or the Ravens or something like that, I think we'd be talking about him like a top 10, top 12 receiver, because he's been catching passes from Kyle Allen, from Teddy Bridgewater, and he quietly puts up numbers. And so, just like him as a prospect, a physical specimen at receiver. And so, yeah, I kind of like that one.
Okay. Yeah. That's it. That seems to certainly work. I mean, again, I'm not trying to blast your list.
You're being gentle with me. I mean, if there's one that you don't like, I mean, come on.
No, I mean, these are all okay. Players. You know, the hard part is, and again, are you trying to, if Saquon Barkley comes back and looks like he did as a rookie, he's going to look like he was too low on the list. It wasn't high enough.
Yeah,
I'm taking Miles Sanders and Josh Jacobs off. And I understand you want to have some inclusion at running backs, but for me, those guys are compared to a guy like if the Raiders called the Jets and said, we'll trade you Josh Jacobs from Mekhi Becton.
Yeah.
Joe Douglas ask if it's the Jerky Boys on the other line. Like, is this a prank? Is this a joke?
That's an underrated right there, a callback there.
Jerky Boys.
You like those?
Yeah. I mean, I think the same thing with the Eagles, right? If they called.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. They called and
would you like to give up Derek Brown for Miles Sanders? The Panthers are like, what? I'm sorry, who is this?
I mean, most of those guys on the just missed list, I don't know. Like, even the Panthers call and offer Jeremy Chin. I mean, Howie Rosen was going to think of. I mean, there's so many guys.
He needed a heartbeat.
Yeah. I mean, that's
immediately old Jeremy Chin from Miles Sanders.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, even like, even if you got another running back, like a Cam Akers who's younger, I mean, the benefit is there. I would, if I could redo the list, I'd take Josh Jacobs off at least and then put one of those receivers in.
Mekhi Becton or Derek Brown or one of those receivers to put in there.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That seems to be accurate to me. I mean, look, again, it's a subjective list. It's your choices. You know, different things go into it. And
okay, so I could have put Jalen Hurts on there.
You can put Jalen Hurts.
No, I'm just.
You want to?
Not yet. So next year, is there any chance in your mind Jalen Hurts is on the list?
Sure. I don't think that's crazy. I mean, I don't
how
think.
How high?
What percentage chance?
No, we don't have to spend team. We don't have to.
15% chance he's a top 25, under 25 player? It also depends on how many guys cycle out and what this rookie class looks like.
Right.
How Herbert backs up his rookie season. You know, I mean, Lamar Jackson will be off the list next year. He'll be 25. We mentioned Miles Sanders off the list. DJ Moore off the list. There'll be a bunch of dudes moving off the list.
Yep.
Roquan Smith off the list. Saquon Barkley off the list, I think. So, yeah, it's possible. I don't think it's likely based on how I expect Jalen Hurts to play. And I think there's a better chance of Tua Tagovailoa making a leap with what they've got around him and that Dolphins team than I think there is of Jalen Hurts making a leap. Cam Akers, to me, looks like a guy who will be on this list next year. Jonathan Taylor, Clyde Edwards-Helaire could all make it if they have big second years, and I expect more of them. CeeDee Lamb, I think, will be locked on there. Brandon Ayuk is a guy who missed that wouldn't be on the list right now, but he had a really good rookie season. And Noah Fant, too. I mean, you know, these guys, depending on how the season plays out, might look like obvious mistakes not to be on the list coming into 2021. Sure. But that's not necessarily on you. You have to work with what you've got and then a bit of projection. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, the top 10, top 25, under 25. The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
New CBS Monday. NCIS is back.
We need all hands on deck.
So grab your gear.
NCIS!
And join our elite team.
What are the charges?
Murder.
New cases to be solved.
Double tap to the chest.
Same caliber as the murder weapon.
And new criminals to catch.
That's the bomb maker. Where's the bomb?
A new NCIS, Monday, 9, 8 central, on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.
Okay, so the top 10... Cody Benjamin's top 25, under 25. That's a lot to say. At first glance, I believe there's three wide receivers, two pass rushers, and four quarterbacks plus one cornerback. I think I did that math right. At number 10, A.J. Brown. I would argue that A.J. Brown should be higher, but then you start to go down the list and you're wondering, who is A.J. Brown ahead of? You actually have Justin Jefferson as the highest ranked wide receiver out of this group at number 7, DK Metcalf at number 9, and AJ Brown at 10. This will sound insane. I'm taking AJ Brown out of all three of those guys. I mean, AJ Brown is maybe a top 5 player for me in the NFL. In terms of like, not overall player, but like how I, like top 5 favorite player for me in the NFL.
I think even him being top 10 on this list, like, the public perception of A.J. Brown probably isn't as good as it should. Like, he deserves more attention. If you just look at what he's done in the short time he's been in the NFL. And I think maybe part of it is because he plays for the Tennessee Titans, and, you know, he's, some might say he's kind of second fiddle to Derrick Henry in that offense. But yeah, he gives you everything. He's got the size. He can be a short area target, a big play threat. I think the receivers here, even though Justin Jefferson is three spots ahead of A.J. Brown, I think that all three of those receivers, I mean, you'd pay a premium to have any of them, and they could all be your number one receiver. I think the difference between them is actually pretty small. It's just like, what are you looking for? I mean, A.J. Brown gives you the physicality, but if you want like a literal monster, I mean, a physical monster, DK Metcalf's your guy. If you want just a pure like playmaker, I mean, I'm looking at Justin Jefferson. So
I mean, Justin Jefferson had 1,400 receiving yards last year as a rookie. That's great. That's just a huge.
I mean, I know he got like attention, but I think it was an incredible rookie season. I mean, he not only gave them
playing for a team that has Mike Zimmer as a head coach, so you're not exactly wheeling and dealing the ball around. Although the Vikings defense stunk last year, and Kirk Cousins threw probably more than Mike Zimmer would want. So if the defense gets better, maybe there's some regression statistically for Jefferson. But he very clearly established himself as a top player in the league.
Well, when they drafted him, it was almost as if they were pivoting from, like, they had the big play threat in Stephon Diggs, and by trading Stephon Diggs, it almost seemed like drafting Justin Jefferson was this lean further into the run game and the short passing game. Because Justin Jefferson coming out, if you remember, everyone was talking about him as more of just a slot guy. He wasn't going to be your outside number one. And then he came in, he replaced Stephon Diggs' production. He gave them the swagger that Stephon Diggs brought to that offense. And so just a home run pick. And it looks like, I mean, it will be a home run for them for a while.
He was actually 45th overall on Pete Prisco's top 100 list, which we joke about. Pete's the top 100 list that we like to watch sometimes. DK Metcalf came in at 39. And let's see, where do you have A.J. Brown? It's hard to find. Oh, 72. So Prisco actually agrees with you in terms of those.
Sure.
Well, no, you had Jefferson ahead. And that's fair. I mean, DK's been – I mean, it feels like we're almost selling DK Metcalf short.
All good. They're all really good.
He's such an DK's such an animal. I mean, it also feels like he's young. He's older. Does it feel like 24? You know,
He feels like a good 27 because of his body and it. But that's another thing too. I mean, if you want to nitpick and like, why is this guy ahead of the other? Justin Jefferson is 22. DK Metcalf's 23. AJ Brown's 24. Now, does that mean a ton? I mean, maybe not, but it's something. So.
No, I mean, that matters. I mean, A.J. Brown will be off the list next year, and he's 2 years, you know.
Yeah.
A.J. Brown and DK Metcalf were drafted in the same year, and one's older than the other. And Justin Jefferson, as you mentioned, 22, is that's what you want. You want a young guy with monster production. And I'm sure it probably hurts your heart as an Eagles fan to put that, because, you know, you're not putting
– I've moved on.
Jalen Reagor.
Oh, yeah. Honestly, actually, I was thinking you were talking about DK Metcalf because they passed on him as well. So, yes, I mean, at the time you're thinking that was the justification for the Eagles drafting Reagor over Jefferson, was that they were banking on the big play over the slot option. And it turned out that Justin Jefferson is exactly what they were looking for.
Indeed. Yeah. That is a shame. All right. The pass rushers, you have Chase Young at 6. And Nick Bosa at 4. I have no quibbles whatsoever. While we're talking to those guys, let's go ahead and mention the Jair Alexander. So 4, 5, 6 defensive guys. Bosa 4, Jair Alexander 5, Chase Young 6. I'm not going to quibble with any of that because those guys are playing some great football. Alexander took a big leap forward last year and looks to be developing into an elite corner. Flies under the radar probably from a public perspective, but was excellent as a Pro Bowl, you know, third-year guy, 23 years old, in, you know, for Green Bay last year. Chase Young and Nick Bosa, assuming health, are probably going to flirt with, I don't want to say Hall of Fame numbers, but geez, I mean, like, they're that good, you know? Nick Bosa, in his first year, looked like a pure all-pro, and you could argue that Bosa doesn't get hurt and missed 14 games last season if they're not forced to play the 49ers had to play seven games in a row in MetLife Stadium for some ridiculous reason.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the case of, you know, why is Jaire Alexander ahead of Chase Young? I mean, if you want to, you know, argue that, I mean, again, it's kind of when these guys can get on the list. I mean, he won't be there next year. And also, I know corners can be kind of streaky. I mean, you have guys who are, you know, cornerbacks are always getting beat regardless of whether they're good. But I just think he's got the attitude. Like he, in addition to the production, he's got the attitude. And then why Nick Bosa over Chase Young? Again, they're both really good. I think they're both going to be on like the path of like a TJ Watt where the sack numbers just keep going up. But I have the numbers in there. I mean, if you look at just the stats between Chase Young and Nick Bosa rookie year, Nick Bosa had 9 sacks to Chase Young, 7.5, 16 tackles for loss to Chase Young's 10, 25 quarterback hits to Chase Young's 12. They're both really good, but I would still, I think if you ask me right now, take Nick Bosa off the edge.
Yeah, that's fine. And Chase Young, 20, is he turned 22? He just turned 22 and back in, born in 1999. That's when I graduated high school. That's depressing. Chase Young, I don't know that the 7.5 sacks necessarily are a good indication of really how terrifying he was for Washington last year. You know, you talk about 12 quarterback hits, 10 tackles for loss. I mean, this is a guy that put together a very good statistical season, but just a dominant, like when you watch him, it is a dominant season. And I always think you could make the case, given his age, given what he did, that if you took quarterbacks off this list, and we would never do that because it's the NFL, but if you did a quarterbacks under 25 and non-quarterbacks under 25, I think there's at least a case that Chase Young could be number one overall. I'm fine having him behind Nick Bosa and Jaire Alexander. I think you want to split up the pass rushers a little bit too, but I mean, we're talking elite defensive players. And if I were betting, I would probably bet that you're correct in that it's more likely for Jaire Alexander to take maybe a step back than Bosa or Chase Young, because it's just easier to rush the passer, but you have more under your control, I think, when you're rushing the passer than you do maybe as a cornerback in terms of your performance.
It's just so, I mean, you could probably, I don't know, unless there's an injury, take it to the bank that Nick Bosa and Chase Young are going to be in the range of like double digit sacks every year, as long as they're healthy. Whereas
they're going to be Pro Bowl caliber players if they play 15 to 16 games every year.
And Alexander, he may be good. He just might not. He's not going to intercept 3, 4, or 5 passes every year. He's going to, I mean, even the Jalen Ramseys like have their down stretches. It's just, it's easier to see at cornerback too.
And part of the problem too is, you know, at pass rusher, yes, you can get double teamed, but you know, you're probably not getting double teamed every week. At cornerback, guys just won't throw at you. You know, the better a cornerback you are, the less throws you're usually seeing on a routine basis. And so that means even though your production could be through the roof and on film, it's very apparent that you're a great player, your statistics might not reflect the season that you necessarily had. So, all right. So about the quarterbacks, 3 guys at the top. Oh, 4 guys total. Joe Burrow, number 8. Kyler Murray, number 3, Justin Herbert, 2, and Lamar Jackson, 1. If Joe Burrow plays a full season last year and isn't destroyed by that terrible Bengals offensive line and Chase Young, frankly, where does he slot in with those other 3 guys?
Yeah, Joe Burrow. So we talked about Saquon Barkley, and Joe Burrow was probably even more so like the toughest one, because I think I changed at the last minute where Joe Burrow was going. I think I originally had him, I want to say at 6, ahead of Justin Jefferson and maybe even Chase Young. I might have had him at 5 because it's more projection with him. I mean, if this were a draft, I mean, if they were redrafting players, I think we both agree that Joe Burrow is going ahead of Justin Jefferson, right? I mean, if you're drafting based off positional value. So it's tough.
If you're drafting, are we doing redrafting that draft class or everybody under 20?
Well, just everyone here. And that throws a whole wrench into, because you're not probably drafting Saquon Barkley at his current stage above some of those other guys. And I think Joe Burrow goes earlier, but there's just still projection to a lot here, because we only have 10 games to go off of. if you look at the numbers, like Joe Burrow was very impressive from a standpoint of like having poise behind that shaky offensive line. He put up good numbers, but compared to like Justin Herbert, they weren't spectacular numbers. They were good, and I think everyone agrees he's going to be a good quarterback. But there's still a lot of projection there. But if he stays healthy, he plays up to par, I think he'd easily be like a top five, spot here.
If we were drafting all the guys here, I am at least so let's say that I'm the number one. We have the number one draft pick. My team has the number one draft pick. I think that we're probably taking Lamar Jackson. We are having a conversation about Justin Herbert.
Yes, we are.
I mean, we are having a lengthy conversation about Justin Herbert or Lamar Jackson in my draft room. And if Lamar were just a little bit older, why can't you be 25, Lamar, to make this easier on me? Because I want to take Justin Herbert, but passing on Lamar Jackson, given what he's done and what he can do as a runner and his potential development as a passer, feels almost impossible. I do think Herbert would be the number two guy. I would probably go Burrow 3, but I understand what you're doing here because in the tricky spot you're in, Kyler had a really good year in 2020. There were some down stretches, and sometimes that offense looks more lethargic than it should be for a passer, a runner like he is. But Joe Burrow suffered an ACL injury. I don't know if you could take him third with Kyler Murray sitting right there.
You're talking about in a redraft.
I'm talking about drafting
in general.
Anybody under 25.
Yeah. Sure.
All players under 25 are released into free agency, and we have the number one overall pick. We're probably going Lamar, but thinking about Herbert. And Herbert's almost definitely 2. And then 3 for me is a toss-up between Kyler and we're assuming nobody has a quarterback.
Sure.
It's a toss-up between Kyler and Burrow. I think I would go Burrow and then Kyler 4. I don't know if any of these pass rushers or wide receivers reach. Chase Young would be close with Kyler, but I think you probably have to go Kyler. And then Young and Bosa are probably 5 and 6 for me.
Yeah, in terms of quarterbacks,
scenario.
In terms of quarterbacks, I don't think there's not a huge argument that, or I think it's true that Kyler Murray right now, I mean, you're ranking them 25 under 25. Kyler Murray is a safer bet than Joe Burrow just because we have more of a resume for Kyler Murray. But yeah, I'm with you. I think that the number one, you'd have to consider Justin Herbert. I mean, everything that is there, the foundational pieces, and he's playing, honestly, if you look at the situations, I mean, you could, I guess, criticize some of the things the Ravens do, but you look at the offensive line he had last year, you look at the play callers he had, you look at the whole situation. I mean, he showed smarts, he showed arm talent, and it was in a bad offseason or on a bad supporting cast or worse, I guess, and abbreviated offseason as a rookie. Everything's there to say, you have to consider Justin Herbert. But right now, I mean, long term, I think Joe Burrow could make sense over Kyler Murray. Just right now, he's still a dual threat. I think he could take care of the ball better. He could take care of himself better. The offense, like you said, is not necessarily living up to expectations. But he reminds me, I don't know if you see this comparison, obviously not in the size, but in the mold and style of his play and the attitude, I think, kind of a young Cam Newton.
Justin Herbert?
No, Kyler Murray. Not the size, but I mean, like, the way he throws, like, he really rockets the ball in there, and he can move, but there's still some question as far as, like, picking his spots to throw the ball. And I don't know. But I think, again, Joe Burrow has a path to replacing him or going above.
Yeah. I would take Burrow over Kyler, I think, but that's just me. Kyler's special in terms of his quickness. I just think Joe Burrow can move enough.
Yeah.
I mean, Justin Herbert, right? I mean, neither Burrow or Herbert or Lamar Jackson or Kyler Murray in terms of their movement and their using their legs. The thing with Herbert, man, 4 quarterbacks in NFL history have thrown more than 25 touchdown passes in the rookie season. It's Peyton Manning, Russell Wilson, Baker Mayfield, and then Justin Herbert. And Herbert shattered the record with 31 in just 15 games. Baker only played in 14 and started 13. Russ and Peyton both had 16 full games. And the rules are easier, I get it, but Herbert, Ryan Wilson always says this. Herbert was basically last year what you hope Trevor Lawrence will be this year, which is crazy.
You know? They've got comparable size. I mean, they've got I agree. And I always think, you know, someone was, I did like an interview not too long ago, and someone asked, you know, how sure are we that Justin Herbert is the real deal? Because we've seen good quarterbacks, or quarterbacks we've called good, fizzle out before. We've seen, like, they used Derek Carr as an example where he had like the 30 touchdown season. But the difference, and I thought of, you know, this offseason, we saw Carson Wentz and Jared Goff traded. Those were guys a few years ago where you ask anyone and they say, well, yeah, they're definitely franchise quarterbacks. They had a hand in Super Bowl runs. They were in MVP conversations. The difference is, you know, Carson Wentz as a rookie was, he was promising, but he wasn't like great right out of the gate.
Yeah.
Jared Goff was horrible out of the gate. Derek Carr was fine, like promising out of the gate. They hit like year two or three and did this. Justin Herbert came out. He wasn't like wildly inaccurate and happened to throw 30 touchdowns like Jameis Winston. He had, I think it was 66% completion percentage, over 4,000 yards, 31 touchdowns, 10 picks. He's given you numbers like that Patrick, you would expect from like a Patrick Mahomes coming out his first year. So yeah, I'm with you.
I mean, you can even say, and I wish I could work into StatHead faster. StatHead, of course, the PFR setup. But give me the numbers. Give me the numbers for Herbert again. What, 60? Let's say 65% completions, 30 touchdowns. Yeah. How many passing yards? Do you have 4,000?
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
So let's say 4,000 passing yards. I'm just trying to create a baseline for who fits into this. And adjusted yards per pass attempt, he was at 7.6. We'll say 7.5 because that's a pretty stout number. Again, 30, more than 30 passing touchdowns, more than 65% completions, more than 4,000 passing yards, and more than 7.5 adjusted yards per pass attempt. Not for rookies, for anyone.
Yeah.
Let's get the results from our friends at StatHead. There have been like 46 seasons like this in the history of the NFL, and when you run through them, it is basically just a who's who of Hall of Fame quarterbacks. And if you could raise the floor, I think, or you could lower the floor by changing the interceptions to 10 or less if you wanted. There are ways you could adjust around it, but it's Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes, Peyton Manning, Matt Ryan, Josh Allen, a bunch more Brady's, some Breeze, Dante Culpepper, no four. Oh yeah. Kurt Warner, Russell Wilson, Matt Ryan.
Here's the difference.
Favre. I mean, all these guys are you're going to be Hall of Famers on the path for Hall of Fame. I mean, he's a rookie.
They certainly didn't flame out, at least, you know, right away, most of them. And the difference between if you're using a Derek Carr, Carson Wentz, Jared Goff as examples of guys who, close to their rookie years, look good. I don't think any of them have Justin Herbert's arm. I don't think, like, the physical skill set, that was the thing coming out, too. Like, is Justin Herbert going to be a good enough leader? Like, can he handle the non-org, like, those were the questions, not the physical skill set. He already has that. Now he's shown he can do something with it. And so
It was watching Herbert at Oregon. You thought, okay, but this guy has every tool in the box that you need. The problem is, can he make those accurate throws? Can he work in the offense? And then all of a sudden the Chargers just have an offense that works for him. So it was wild, man. Justin Herbert, good player.
The only reason that Lamar Jackson is ahead of him here, I think, is just because, like, I mean, there's no comparison to the electric athleticism. And we've seen in years past, like a Michael Vick.
3 years of data with Lamar Jackson where his approximate value as a player last year was higher than Justin Herbert's.
And I won't say that Lamar Jackson is the guaranteed better quarterback for the long term, because I think we've seen before, like a Michael Vick, he can do things that no one can do. And for that reason alone, he's must-watch TV. He gives your team a chance, but at the end of the day, like, he still has to deliver as a quarterback. And you know, Lamar Jackson, I think he's a better quarterback than some people give him credit for, especially like they point to the playoff games. But for now, number one, again, he won't be on here next year. But for now, if you want a game-changing player, he's your guy.
I think you have to defer to Lamar Jackson, who has gone 24-6 in the last, and in fact, has gone 30-7, excuse me, as a starting quarterback in the NFL. He completes 64% of his passes. His passing yardage numbers are not skyjacked, and his touchdowns regressed last year. That shouldn't be surprising. He was going to regress from the first ever 3,000, 1,000 season, but certainly still can run the ball plenty. And if he takes any sort of leap as a passer, look the bleep out, but he won't be on the list next year. There's a good chance Justin Herbert might be one, or maybe Joe Burrow will take him down. Either way, good work on the list. Cody Benjamin, great stuff as always. Thank you. You've been an anchor here on the old Pick Six podcast this all season. We appreciate it.
I appreciate it. We're going to have to get a little, you know, those little old news clip music things that come in, you know. Maybe I get a little microphone. Hey. I stand outside in the yard and pretend to be.
I like it. Or I'll send you a Pick Six podcast hoodie or something. Do we have that?
See, now if you say that, I'm going to hold you to it or something. You're gonna,
okay, yeah, yeah, sure. Yeah,
you can I'll pay for the shipping, Devo.
We'll get some kind of discount in the store, I think. We'll get green, Eagles green for you, too. All right, buddy. Thanks as always.
Thanks for having me.
It's the UEFA Champions League on Paramount Plus. Europe's top club soccer tournament. Champions versus champions. The best teams facing off in the knockout rounds.
Magnificent!
And it all takes place
while you're filling out financial reports at work. In the middle of your day, in the middle of your week. So use that second screen. Call in sick. Do whatever you gotta do to tune in Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Nobody watches the UEFA Champions League like us. Stream every match live exclusively on Paramount Plus.